Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Hello, welcome to this episode of Fungula. Our guest this week is an international motivational speaker, a best-selling author, a former beauty queen, and a senior citizen. She likes to mention that she's a senior citizen because she's proud of it. And we get into that on this episode of her embracing her senior citizenness. And we talk about my fear of becoming senior citizenness, but we get into it. Anyways, this is a great episode. Hilarious, motivational, obviously, because that's what she does for a living, so she can't have a conversation without motivating you. And it was just a really great conversation with Dale Smith Thomas. So you can look her up on Instagram, Facebook, all the things. She's wonderful. And before you listen to this episode, don't forget, have you left a review yet on Apple Podcast? Have you subscribed to the YouTube channel? Have you left us a comment on any of our platforms, on TikTok, Instagram, wherever? Mm-hmm. Have you left us some comments? Have you called? Have you told us what you are grateful for, what you are mad about? Have you asked us for advice? You have many ways to reach out to us. Email, text message, voicemail message. You can fill out a whole form on my website. Danielle will give you all the information on how you can reach out to us.
I feel like you kind of gave it all away just there.
Well, I didn't give the details.
You can call or text us at 747-300-5380. You can email us at fungulapodcast@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. And of course, as Angela mentioned, on her website, there's a form you can fill out there as well.
Yes, reach out to us and talk to us and ask us a question and we'll give you some advice. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We love that part. We love giving our non-expert opinion on mm-hmm. things. Mm-hmm. It's so fun for us. But until then, enjoy this episode with Dale Smith Thomas, where she motivates and inspires us.
We just want to have fun. Yeah. We just want to have fun. Come on.
Let go. This girl needs her space. Yeah. Oh, and get this. It's a new thing. Did you know people have sleep divorces?
What?
They are married, but they don't like sleeping together.
Oh, yeah. I just heard. Yeah. This is okay. Popular right now.
One couple came from, where were they? Wisconsin. Uh-huh. They've got two kids. Uh-huh. But they got a sleep divorce. So I've got a big king suite upstairs with a big king bed. Uh-huh. I'm thinking a pallet for each kid.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I had to put a full mattress up there because the adult needed to sleep. I'm like, oh, my God.
No way.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Wow.
So they were in bedrooms and floors and... But it was fine.
Well, your house sounds nice. Can I come spend the night?
Yeah, you can.
Okay.
I got a whole suite just for you if you need to get away.
Yes. I'll do a little staycation.
Come stay at my house. You got it, baby. I got your whole suite ready to go.
What did you cook for 20-something people?
Oh, I started with desserts. I made a honey bun cake.
Mm-hmm. Love.
The first day. Because I'm a Southern girl. You know, I was born. I said mama fries a chicken or used to every day in case somebody died, you know, for funeral food.
Yeah.
And so I grew up. That's the truth. I grew up.
What, Mom, why are you cooking in case somebody dies?
Yeah, somebody dies. We got to be on the first on the spot with the funeral food, man. Come on. It's a little tiny town. They would be talking trash about you if you were not showing up with food.
Oh, yeah.
But I thought, that's going to last me the whole week. It's a big old sheet cake. The children, cheering, as we say in the South, plowed through that the first night.
No.
I'm like, oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. So, but I did it. It's done. And so
everybody, you're getting Kroger cakes for the rest of the week.
No, then I made a lemon iced box pie. I made 5 batches of cookies.
Wow.
I don't remember after that. I was gone. Wow. My brain was gone.
Wow.
I made baked caramel French toast.
Oh, my God.
You come and stay. I'll make that for you. You can come too, Danielle. I got an extra bedroom for you. I got an extra bedroom for you.
Yes. Perfect.
You can come
you
on
so
over.
Much.
I'll cook for you.
I
will.
And I will eat it.
Good.
Yeah. I will. Don't tempt us with a good time.
Oh, well, come on. Don't tempt me. I will do it. I will do it. We will have some fun.
It used to be like people being like, oh, yeah, we're going to go to this festival or we're going out to this nightclub or something. You're like, yes, put me on the guest list. I want to come.
No. Not if it's after 10 o'clock, I ain't.
Girl, don't no. tempt me with a home-cooked meal.
There you go.
In a home.
Right. No, you got to promise me. Y'all got to come. I'm not inviting the boys, but we're going to do a girl night.
I love that.
I know.
That actually sounds fun.
Let's do it.
We should do it.
Yeah, but I mean it. I'm not playing with you.
Okay.
I mean, I will cook for you like, I mean, I'll Southern cook for you.
Yes. What's your, like, if you're trying to show off, if you were trying to be like,
oh, Lord,
Angela's coming over, this is what I'm going to cook for her. What would it be? Yeah. Yeah.
It's going to start with a casserole. It's got a lot of cheese in it. It's probably going to be cheese whiz, but you're going to get over it.
She'll take her lactate. It's fine.
You won't know. Yeah. Yes, you don't have to do that.
I got a stock of lactate.
Take three of them. Just pop them. Just right. In case. Hopefully one of them will work.
Then I'm going to like double, triple up on desserts, just so you know. You know, I make a mean chocolate chip cake that is,
And
that have you ever had a lemon icebox pie?
Uh-uh.
Oh.
I don't even know what that means.
It's all this lemon goodness, but it's got condensed milk in it, so it's got this sweet, and then you put a little homemade whipped cream on it. My grandmother used to make it.
Yeah,
I mean, they were coming back asking me for another one. I'm like, no, I only made one, so y'all gonna have to turn this into five loaves and fishes if you need children. I'm not doing another one. So yeah, and then you got stuff over for the baked caramel French toast. Now I got that one out of a book called Any Blonde Can Cook.
Okay,
69 Ways to a Man's Heart.
I love it. Ooh. Yes, queen. Yeah. And now it's your go-to.
Now it's my go-to all the time. I pretend like it's mine, but hey. We borrow stuff.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah.
And if I've we used it twice, it's mine.
Then it's become, Dale, can you make your famous French toast?
Yeah, that you came up with in Mississippi all by yourself. Sure I will.
You're from Mississippi.
Born and raised on a back road in North Mississippi. Last time I went home, just for kicks and giggles, I said to Siri, hey Siri, direct me to Route 3, Box 89.
Nope.
Siri said, I don't know where that is.
She said, what does that mean?
What's that mean? My mother was 40 miles from Walmart. Does this tell you what you need to know? This is why I never had a date.
Wow.
Ain't nobody coming after me.
When did you move?
I moved in the early 80s to Nashville.
Okay. How old were you?
Right out of college, 22. A friend of mine was crippled in a car accident, told she'd never walk again, and went on to be Miss America.
Oh, my God.
Whoa.
So she was my first person I ever see follow a dream.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, growing up that poor in that kind of environment, you don't, I didn't know that you really had choices. I thought it was my conditions that determined my destiny.
Okay.
Not my decisions.
Ah.
So after Miss America,
You better bumper sticker out the gate.
So she moved to Nashville after she gave up her title, and she said, I can't find anybody to work with me that just loves me for me. Well, you moved to Nashville. I'd never driven on interstate. And I moved
no
to Nashville.
Way.
Oh, yeah. My mom had made all my clothes till I was 22.
No way.
Yes, ma'am. You know, she's just praying for me a husband. That wasn't working out.
Well, yeah. Hello. Where are you looking?
Where is he? And I told Danielle, I went to college at Mississippi State. I got a degree in physical education because I was shopping for a husband, not because I got any physical ability
at
all. I almost failed golf. I mean, you know it's not your life's path.
Let me tell you, golf is actually pretty difficult. I could not get that swing down. My friends have tried. I'm like, no, I don't know what it is. Was your mom scared when you said, I'm moving to the big city, to Nashville?
Oh, and when I married the starter husband, he's not the ex, he's a starter.
Okay.
When I married the starter husband, I met him on a sidewalk. I first moved to Memphis for 6 months.
Okay.
And met him on a sidewalk, and he said, what are you doing? And I said, I'm trying for a job at this company back here, and it was like this, I don't know, something wrong. And he's like, are you looking for a job? And I said, I sure am. He said, I've got a friend that needs a secretary. You want me to call him? So he did. Then he said, do you want to get in the car with me and go to an interview? And I did. So when I call my mother, and I'm like,
As all good crime shows begin.
Yeah, right. I met a guy on the sidewalk. He called a guy.
Mom, they have sidewalks
here. They have sidewalks. He called a guy, and all I heard was, yeah. And he took me to this guy's house for an interview. He didn't have an office. He said, can you type? I said, not really. He said, you want to start Monday? I said, sure. So I called my mother. Now I end up marrying the one that picked me up.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That was the starter husband.
That's the starter husband. that's my baby's daddy.
Oh my goodness. That's my next daddy. How long were you guys married?
15.
15 years. That's a good amount of time.
We still vacation together, honey. We're a Jerry Springer show without the trailer.
Meet cute. You still vacation together?
Oh, yeah. I tell people.
Oh, you're on great terms.
We're a Jerry Springer show without the trailer.
I love that.
I'm serious. We just all went to Florida. Love his wife.
I love it.
Oh, yeah. We're all together.
Okay, so you were married for 15 years.
Yep.
You got divorced.
Yep. He introduced me to the keeper husband.
No way.
Yes, he did. He said
while you were still married or after you got divorced?
I don't remember. Is it necessary?
Yeah. I mean, I'm so into it. I'm so into it.
They were skiing. Yes, we were. We were so funny. We couldn't afford to live apart, so we kept living in the same house. Okay, I'm all good. You know?
You're like, friends. Listen, we you want me to make your clothes? I got you.
We got a boy together, so it's all good. And he was on a ski trip with my now husband and told him, and he had just gotten divorced. He said, she's the one that you need to take out. I don't talk a lot. You talk a lot, and she talks a lot. Y'all should get together.
No way.
And now my husband's like, he was looking at him like, what? Now, we had casually met. But I didn't really know him. They partied together, went to concerts together. Sure. So, yeah, that's how it happened.
And they're still friends.
Oh, Lord, yeah. We're vacationing together, sister.
I freaking love this story.
Yeah. And I love his wife. Oh, I love her. She was one of the first texts I got this morning.
Aww.
Yeah.
But this is, I am into this. Okay.
And, you know, I just decided just because we were 23 when we got married.
Okay.
And just because we weren't good for a long time doesn't mean I need to carry that anger or that resentment or that insecurity with me forever.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
We have a child together. We have a grandchild together.
Yeah.
Life's too short. Yeah. Leave it.
I feel like this comes with a level of emotional maturity on both of your ends, though.
Absolutely. More me.
Okay.
Let's just be clear about that. Don't go that far.
Yeah.
Don't take that train.
Some level of emotional maturity has to happen to where you guys can remain friends and then introduce each other to the next partner and not feel any type of, you know, stuff.
Right.
That's incredible.
Absolutely right. And
did you do therapy to obtain this emotional maturity?
Absolutely, 1,000%. And I remember that first therapy session because nobody in my family had ever been to therapy. I mean, I don't know anything about that. And that's a real scary spot to step off into that.
Mm-hmm.
And I deeply felt like we were not solid enough to go forward. And, you know, and where I grew up in a little Southern Baptist church in North Mississippi, you might fight to the finish, but you're not getting divorced. You know, you are not getting a divorce.
Yeah.
And so I think we were in the middle of working all this out, the exit plan out. It was 2 years before I told my mother.
Wow. That's what I was going to ask you. Like, was there any, because I'm sure you don't want to disappoint your mom or your hometown or your church or whatever. And so maybe you stay in it longer than you probably should because, of course, we're trying to think about other people. We don't want to disappoint them, blah, blah, blah. How was that process of, like, telling your mom and, like,
I know how she received it? It's one of those things that I know exactly where I was standing. Mm-hmm. I was on the road as a speaker. And I was standing in probably, I think it was Chicago, in an airport. And I said, Mom, I just need you to know that Rourke and I, we are going to get a divorce. And she instantly turned it back to, well, you probably didn't agree with all this, you know, stuff about herself. And I was strong enough at that time to say, Mom, I need to respectfully tell you this is not about you. This is about what's best for me and what's best for Nicholas. And I will have to say, you know, when I married him, I was not this person. I was not this person who was comfortable in my own skin. I had gotten over an eating disorder. And I was always the girl that was, I don't know, I just felt like I was never chosen. And so I was, you know, I heard y'all do an episode about this, but I was the queen of the people pleasing. I mean, queen of it. And so they found a tumor on my thyroid gland.
Wow.
And we weren't sure if it was cancer or not. And I actually started doing some research about how emotions affect your body.
Come on.
And that said in what I was reading, it's like it fell off of a shelf, honestly. Uh-huh. It was just divine.
Yeah.
And it talked about not being able to speak up for yourself, and that's where you get attacked.
Wow.
In your throat.
Yeah.
And so I had a therapist just say, hey, you better wake up.
Mm-hmm.
You better wake up.
Shoot.
Before this illness really gets any further, and you better start speaking your truth
mm-hmm.
for you and your child.
Mm.
And so, you know, and so we made that journey out. And I think the fear of what it was going to be like on the other side was way bigger than what it actually was.
Yeah.
I won't tell you it was easy.
Right.
I mean, financially or not living the dream that you're going to
sure.
be in this space that uh-huh. you always thought you would be.
Mm-hmm.
But by that time, I had overdosed my soul in more positivity.
Mm.
And I learned to look for the positive in the middle of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And that you either go through it or grow through it, your choice.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, I'm not just going to go through this. I'm going to grow through this. I'm going to be stronger because of this.
Wow.
And I want to live this example for my child.
Yeah.
And I wanted to be friends with his dad.
Yeah.
And thrilled that he's found his person. And I think they are perfect together. But we needed to make that journey for us to both meet our people now.
100%.
And to have this child.
How old was your son when you guys got divorced?
Let's see. I guess he was 12 because I actually remarried at 14. Now, that's a funny story.
He was 14.
Yeah, yeah.
You got real...
Girl, don't you go there.
You got real Mississippi on me real quick, okay? I said, wait a minute.
I couldn't even get a date when I was 14. So I, Rob and I have been dating, and, you know, I'm 41, and uh-huh. he had been married for 15 years, too. Sorry, baby, I'm telling the story.
Uh-huh.
And we hadn't really talked about it. Or no, let's back up. He hadn't talked about it.
Okay.
So you know the rules.
Yeah.
You know, you got to sit around and wait for a man to ask. Well, not when you're 41.
No.
And I was running over to his house and doing all the cooking, and then I'd leave Nick there because his son's the same age and had a beautiful son and daughter. And then I'd run back to my house and sleep. I'm like, I don't like this. Y'all staying over there playing, and I'm running home, cleaning the kitchen, going home. Uh-uh. So it was right after Christmas one year. And you don't ever say to a man, can we talk? Because his head will swivel.
Uh-huh.
Just don't do it.
Uh-huh.
And so I said, hey, can I ask you something? He said, sure. I said, you ever thought about like where this is going? Then his head swiveled.
Uh-huh.
He's like, no. I said, well, look, dude, love you, mean it. I have. So look, let me be real clear about something. You may not ever want to get married again. That's fine. We be friends. But we're not going to do around this playing this little house business because you're going to need to cut me loose while I'm hot enough to go get something else.
Thank you.
And then I said, because look, I love you, but I got friends that are getting a divorce that I could love too. So let's get that out there. He's like, what? I'm like, I got friends that are getting divorced that I could love too. So, you know, let's be friends if this not going anywhere. He goes, you're not going anywhere. He was laughing so hard he couldn't breathe. But, you know, where's that? I remember thinking, am I going to wait another year?
Right.
To have this conversation.
Right.
To see if he may not want to do this. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
So I just encourage women, know who you are.
Yeah.
Know who you are and stand in that power. And, you know, slide into their DMs if you need to and say hello. I mean, I can do it like that now.
Yeah, yeah,
I mean, so be strong in who you are.
Yeah.
And then that was December, right after Christmas, December 99, and we got married New Year's Eve of 2000.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very nice.
26 years, 27 now, almost.
Did you have any more kids with
No.
Them? No? Okay.
I could have, I guess, at 41.
I mean, yeah, I did.
I could have. I know, and... Fantastic. Fantastic. Yeah, and I go, you know, I go to the mommy and me class with you guys, and I'm like, here I am as the grandmother, the senior citizen grandmother, might I add, tripping up in here with all these beautiful moms, and but having so much fun. And, you know, I think that plays with people's heads, too, as a grandmother, should I be in there doing that and all that? Not me. I'm coming up. I'm coming in there with y'all.
Yeah, I should mention to everybody, we met...
at my gym class.
We did.
My daughter and her grandson were in my gym class together. Yes. And what's funny is it is because I'm an elder mom, okay? So, like, there's all the moms there that are probably, like, in their, like, early 30s, you know? And I'm in my early 40s. So I gravitated towards the grandmas of the group. You and I forgot her name.
I know who you're talking about.
And her grandson, and he wears the glasses, yes. And he's so cute.
He is so cute.
I can't think of her name right now, but oh my, I love chatting with her. Like I found you guys, and we exchanged numbers.
Well, my grandson found you because you are his first real girl crush.
Yeah,
and I was breaking my heart. Oh,
he loved me.
Oh, no. He would beeline so much to her that the other mothers would come to me and say, my heart is breaking for you.
Yeah. Oh, he and we would did hold this my
little,
hand.
We would do this little circle time where the babies have to sit in their person's lap.
Mm-hmm.
He would start backing his little behind up
trying to get
sit
in lap.
Her lap. He'd backing it up to get in her lap, and her little firecracker, Rosie, I will never forget, came right up between them and put her finger in his face, and she went, no, baby. I am here for it. You go, girl. You keep that the rest of your life.
Yeah.
And Grace is looking at her like, what?
Yeah, and that doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah.
That feels very on brand
she
for Rosie.
She called him out quickly.
No, baby.
No, baby. No, baby.
Oh, as soon as the door would go ding, ding, that somebody's walking in, he'd be looking for me.
Always. To see when I would come in. Always looking for her. And he did it to nobody else.
Yeah.
Nobody else. Although a couple of times, it was so funny, there would be a couple of brunette mothers there. Uh-huh. I would see him inch up and grab a hand and then look up and go,
not my lady.
Oh, that's not my girl. That is not my girl. So yeah, that's how we met.
Yep.
And then I remember it had been a minute. We hadn't seen you guys right before Rosie's second birthday, and you weren't sure he was going to remember you. He came straight up to the park, hand up, hand up to
ready.
You.
Ready. He's like, where you been, girl?
Where you been? Where you been? You know, it's interesting. You know, I look back at my mother and other grandmothers in this, quote, senior citizen space, and I don't know if it's different, but I'm just making it different.
Okay.
I'm just not going to subscribe to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to do a little public service announcement for all of y'all who haven't hit the 50 yet. Okay. Let me tell you something. There are different people who define senior citizenship different.
Okay. Yes, yes, yes.
They put a different age on it.
Yeah.
AARP is coming for you at 50. You just don't know it yet.
Uh-huh.
I remember I got the card in the mail. And I'm like, oh, no, you did not.
Uh-huh.
I am 50, friends.
Uh-huh.
And I looked and it said, Mr. Dale Thomas. I'm like, y'all ain't found me yet.
Uh-huh.
Y'all
That's
ain't
right.
found me yet. Y'all ain't found me yet.
Thought you knew. Nope.
And, And then Costco for a while did a 60. You could go shop for an hour early.
Yep.
At
Senior
Costco.
Hour. That's right.
Now I'm going to throw gratitude right in here.
Uh-huh. Let's do it. Let's do
right
it.
Right in here.
Let's
I'm about to it. Throw you a gratitude. So one day after the gym, workout gym, I go running to dashing over to the Costco.
Uh-huh.
And there's this little man there. You know, he's a little sweet, look like he belonged at Walmart as a greeter. You know that. Yeah. You know the type. And I go busting up in there, and he's stopping me. And I'm like, he just went from Walmart greeter to mall cop.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know how.
Yeah.
He goes, excuse me, young lady. Okay, I love you.
Yeah.
What are you doing? I said, I'm going to go shopping in the Costco.
The Costco.
He said, well, you can't. This is the senior citizen hour. I said, oh, what's a senior citizen? He said, you got to be 60. I said, then we all good. And he said, I don't believe you. I think you're lying to me. But if you're willing to lie to me about that age, you just need to get on up in here. And he let me in. But you know, I was getting side-eyed from the older senior citizens.
I bet.
Side-eye. I mean, looking at me like, I have busted up in the doors of Costco, ran through security, and came up in the Costco illegally.
Uh-huh.
It's the way they acted.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how am I getting the side eye?
Yeah.
I mean, like, upset that I'm in there might get in line before them.
Yeah, they're looking at you like you did not earn this early entry.
You did not,
ma'am.
Do I need to flip out the 1959 on my driver's license and show you? Yeah. Look, every time I have to fill out something, it's like spinning the wheel of death to try to get to 19. You don't have to go to your birthday.
Then you just flip up the whole page and you're on a different internet page. You're like, no. I flipped too hard.
I did. But I'm going to race it every step of the way. I'm going to wear the bling. I'm going to wear the shoes. I'm not doing it. I'm not giving in to it. What do you do?
Okay, how old are you?
67. 5017. The age of Barbie. Mm-hmm. She's a senior citizen, too. Check it out. She is.
Looked the same.
She's had 72,000 careers.
They
she's still looking
make
good.
A senior citizen Barbie, like yeah, her actual age.
I know, but what is she going to look like?
Because, you!
Well, okay, let's go there.
Yeah.
But you know, when they're advertising stuff, like for the Villages in Florida, we can't even go there. This is not what they show you on television, what a senior citizen is supposed to look like.
Yeah.
And, you know, I learned a long time ago, because I'm a has-been beauty queen. That means I was a beauty queen, got a sparkly hat years and years and years and decades ago. I represented Tennessee at Mrs. America as the state representative.
Wow.
And that's how my speaking career started. I just started telling stories. I didn't I didn't know you could get paid to talk. Back then, I didn't know.
Right.
And I had worked hard to earn that title. Mm-hmm. I was doing some coaching, trying to teach girls how to be real and interview after my friend had won. Just be real. Mm-hmm. And these little children kept saying, how can you teach us anything? You ain't ever won anything. Oh. I'm like, really, with your outside voice?
Ooh.
And so they encouraged me to enter. So I was trying to raise my fee from $20 to $25 an hour. This is why I'm going.
Uh-huh.
And I'm thinking there are only 12 married women in the state of Tennessee that would compete in this thing. After you had a baby and got to get in a swimsuit, there were 57. Uh-huh. Where are y'all coming from?
Uh-huh.
And so first year I was top 15. Next year I was second runner-up. And the third year I won.
Wow.
And I just had to grow through it. And so I believe that you've got to say yes. Uh-huh. You lean in and say yes until you have to say no.
Yeah.
And trust your instinct, and that's how my speaking career started. And so the first booker that ever booked me, here's my attitude. First, I'm just throwing, don't you love the way I slid that in? Don't you way I slid that in there?
I love it.
Slid that in there. My attitude was, I had it on my promotional material because I was proud of it. Mm-hmm. I grew up so insecure and so shy in Mississippi. I didn't achieve that much. Mm-hmm. And she called me one day and said, we're going to have to take that pageant stuff off of our promotional material. She said, I just submitted you to a group that you'd be perfect for. And they just came back to me with this. We won't hire a woman that looks like that.
What?
And especially one that's a beauty queen.
What?
And I'm like, y'all think just because we got the sparkly hat, we are not smart, articulate, and real, that all we know how to do is roll our hair and wave.
Uh-huh.
And even now, my husband has a group of friends, and somebody recently says, he talked about something I was cooking, and they said, she cooks? What? Don't be judging me like that. Uh-huh. Get to know me about that.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
And I know that any of us that put ourselves out there, we are setting ourselves up to be judged. But let me say to everybody out there, no one's opinion of you ever has to be your reality, and don't you ever lower yourself to that.
Yeah.
Ever.
Wise words.
Yes.
I have a question regarding aging and beauty, especially because you were a beauty queen,
right?
What was your, I don't want to say like transition like into senior years. The question I'm trying to get at is, I feel scared.
Okay.
To get older, like
I got your back, girl.
Like I don't want to look like a young, I don't want to stay 20 in my face.
Yep.
But the more I see like my jowls going and sagging and like all the things, and I'm like, it's not getting better from today. It goes saggier and looser. And I attribute it to all the beauty commercials that we see are a certain type and a certain age. We rarely see senior women and say, this is beauty.
Right.
So because we don't, as society, label this beauty and look up to it, it becomes something that we're, I'm going to speak for myself because I don't know who else, whatever. So it becomes something that I am afraid to attain because it's like, I don't know, it's subconsciously saying something to me. Like, I'm done. Like, my beauty's done. Mm-hmm. Because all the billboards and commercials and magazines that I see are of this age to this age.
Right.
So after this, then you're done.
Right.
So there's like a subconscious... scared to get older, not even about death. Like, I talk about my fear of death on this podcast regularly, but not even that. I'm talking about like just getting older, looking older, not having the same whatever, because in my mind, I still feel like young and I think of myself as young. And in my brain, I look like this certain way. And then I catch myself on video or a picture and I'm like, oh my God. That's how I look? I thought I looked like how I look in my brain.
We all
it's
do
an
that.
Old memory.
I got news for you. That's not going away. Sorry to say. But I think, and you make such a good point, and I speak corporately around the world, but I also donate a lot of time back into speaking into some of these competitions.
Uh-huh.
I have been the keynote speaker at Miss America for the last few years. And my message to them is the same message to you and I, is that comparison is the thief of joy.
Uh-huh.
And if we are comparing ourselves to something else, we've got our eyes off of who we are and mm-hmm. what our purpose is.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got to stand in the mirror and say, what makes me happy and what do I want to do about it?
Yeah.
I have no, you know, I know a lot of women are really comfortable letting their hair go completely gray.
Uh-huh.
This chick ain't one of them.
Okay.
This blonde hair, you will always see. Is there gray there? We don't know. We not gonna know. You can ask my guy, Gordon. I don't think there is, because my mother is almost 89 with no gray hair.
No way.
But even, yes, she is. She sure is. But you know what? You're never gonna know, because I like this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I like this.
Yeah.
And I've decided what I like.
Yeah.
And now, I wasn't gonna tell this, but I'm gonna do it anyway. So if somebody shows up next week and sees me down on the beach in Mexico in a bikini, mind your business.
Okay.
Mind your own business.
Uh-huh.
If I'm 67 and want to wear that swimsuit, I'm going to do it. Whatever uh-huh. rule says that I can't.
Uh-huh.
No, my body's not perfect. And if I don't like it, I'm going to do something about it. If not, I'm going to say thank you, God, every day. Gratitude that I woke up and was able to see uh-huh. the light of day.
Yeah.
And so I think I have to say to you, and I have to say to me, and we have to be accountable to each other. We got to get off our own backs.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We've got to stop comparing ourselves to what we're sold.
Yep.
And through Instagram and all the tick and the talk and all those things, we see all of these things.
Mm-hmm.
And if we go down that rabbit yeah. hole and feed that,
yeah.
then it's hard to back that train up.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because what you focus on gets bigger.
Yeah.
Every single time.
Yeah.
And so if you focus on, look, I am gorgeous. That's why I said to you, good morning, gorgeous, this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually a book I wrote, but it came out of a seminar that I did in Arkansas for about 600 women. And I started thinking about, do women get up and appreciate who they are?
Mm.
Or do they get up in the mirror and go, oh, good God,
mm-hmm.
what
mm-hmm.
happened to this?
Yeah, right.
What
yeah.
was this here yesterday?
Yeah.
So I said, come on, let's do an attitude check. There were 600 women, about 3 men in the back. And I said, how many of y'all got up and said, good morning, gorgeous? The 3 men in the back raised their hand. You know it's true. You know it's true. You have never been.
And they were probably overweight too, don't you?
Yeah. Has any man ever turned to you and said, hey, look, do you like these pants? Does it make my butt look uh-huh. big? It has never happened.
No.
Yeah. But we are at war before we leave the bathroom.
Yeah.
So I challenged that. This was off the top of my head, because uh-huh. this, like I'm talking to you, is how uh-huh. I go on stage. So I said, okay, we're going to do something tomorrow. You're going to get up and say, good morning, gorgeous, to yourself. You uh-huh. start believing it. Your husband's going to say, hey, but you tell him this ain't for him.
Uh-huh.
And then I need you to say it to 5 people. I need you to send a friend a text. I need you to say it to the girl in the grocery store. I need you to speak life to somebody tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
It's a simple little thing that can brighten somebody's day.
Yeah, totally.
Well, the next day, this was a hospital. The next day, the physician's recruiter called me from Arkansas, and she's whispering. She said, Dale, and I'm, yes. She said, the spirit of Dale is in our hospital today. I'm like, what are you talking about? She said these women are walking down the hall saying, good morning, gorgeous. Good morning, yeah. gorgeous. She said, girl, you don't understand. These bitches hate each other. Yeah. I'm like, well, just for today,
yeah.
they're encouraging each other. That costs it. Nothing.
Yeah.
And you know what? The more we encourage each other, it's yeah. going to help balance out these voices that mm-hmm. we have mm-hmm. about what beauty is, what it should yeah. be. And it makes it. If you want to change the color of your hair, do it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If you want to do a little, as Dolly says, nip, tuck, and suck, do
uh-huh.
it.
Uh-huh.
Do it. You know, Dolly will tell you straight up. If that's what you want to do it. Mm-hmm. Don't let somebody else dictate
yeah.
what you feel good about in your own skin. Yeah, because, yeah, yeah. and especially as a mother of a daughter, and I encourage women, you want to teach your daughters self-confidence.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the greatest example is for you to live it in front of them.
Yeah.
And I try to teach women, if you are constantly complaining about mm-hmm. your body and about how this and that, that's what they're hearing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then that's what they think is normal and
right.
okay. So we've got to show them
yeah.
that, you know, we are all sent here for a purpose, and we've got to let this light come from the inside
yeah.
out, and that gorgeous is a spirit and a state of mind, and the rest of it is just dressing
yeah.
and
yeah.
do with it what you will.
Yeah.
But get your eyes off everybody else and let yeah. them mind their own business.
I think about that often with Rosie, and I'm very aware of that, and I don't talk negatively about myself in front of her, and it's caused me to tone down that voice when I'm not around her.
Right.
Because I would say to myself, like, if Rosie was right here, would I want her to hear what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And
exactly.
No, I wouldn't. And then I'll be honest, there are some things I'm saying in my head, and I'm like, well, I'm not going to say it out loud. Let me at least start there. Okay. But then there's also times where, like, I see myself a certain way when I look in a mirror, and I can see all my flaws and things that I don't like. And sometimes I wonder, how does Rosie see me?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I don't think she registers that this eyelid goes real low.
No, I heard you talking
about. You know what I mean?
I like, heard you talk about that.
I don't think she registers that. I don't think she registers that I look like I'm frowning when I'm not. You know what I mean? Like, I don't.
I'm not registering that either.
Yeah. I'm talking a lot, but just catch me when I'm tired, just like that. But I'm like, I don't think she's registering any of that. One, because I don't think she understands yet, like, what is beauty, what is not, and that we
no.
get to define that we ourselves.
Get to define that. Yes.
So she doesn't know that
right.
yet. So then I think to myself, like, I get to help her define what beauty is.
Right.
And so I don't want to talk negatively about myself because I'm teaching her.
Right.
What beauty is and what it is not.
Words have power.
Totally.
Yeah. And I think the most important conversations we have are going on between our ears.
Oh, yeah.
And I ask audiences all over the world, what if every word you spoke out of your mouth the last month instantly came true? Where would you be right now?
Oh.
I had a woman raise her hand and go, I'd be in jail. I went, you told him you were going to kill him, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
She said, sure did.
Mm-hmm.
Sure did. But we are constantly speaking things that we don't like. So, and look, I was the queen of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, here I am in my late 60s and I'm still catching myself. But if we stop and pause and maybe try this, I'm going to throw out a challenge for you, my friend. And you too, Danielle. I'm throwing it out. For every negative thing you say to yourself, okay. I need you to find five positive.
Five.
Or maybe okay. three. If we
can I do some repeats?
You can. Put it on repeat. But I think we get in this cycle
mm-hmm.
and we just let those roll without
yeah.
pausing to catch them.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got, you know, I have always been fit. I've always worked out. And since I've been taking care of Grayson the last 3 years, you know, that's kind of slacked off because I'm racing him around the house. But I looked the other day and I've got arms that are moving in directions that I didn't know they could go.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I'm not happy with that.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to do about it, but I can't stand in that mirror and take a personal assault on myself. And and you have to ask, I want you to ask yourself this too. The things that you are saying to yourself, would you really say to people, let's say your best friend or people that you really love, would you use those words and that message to them? I know you wouldn't.
No.
So love yourself enough to say, okay, I'm not thrilled with this, but I can do this or I like this. Mm-hmm. And flip, we got to flip the switch. Yeah. And that's how you teach your daughter to flip the switch.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because negative is normal.
Uh-huh. It is. It's, but you're so right. The conversation that we're having between our ears. I forget, I read somewhere like the amount of thoughts that we think a day.
60,000.
Is, yeah, it's
90% are negative and 85% are the same ones we thought yesterday.
Huh.
Yes, ma'am.
How do we get out of that loop?
Well, first of all, you got to pause. You got to press pause. And you get up in the morning and you drag, you know, you reset during the night. Mm-hmm. And I think you've got to press pause because otherwise we're dragging the same story into the next day. Mm. And I am just as guilty. And and one of my practices that I do is that I start every day with a journal and I consider it taking out the trash. And I dump it out onto the paper and kind of clear the space before I get into the day.
Yeah.
And especially right now, and I think I mentioned this to you, another thing that... Who knew I should be doing at 67? But I have written a sassy fiction book. Please hold.
Yeah.
I am a nonfiction. And this idea, so let me say to this, and let me say this also. Whoever's listening right now, I'm going to preach. Whoever's listening right now, you're supposed to be here. There's something here for you.
Yeah.
And you may need to roll back and figure out what it is. But I believe that if you're here with us right now, you're here on purpose. So stop and pause and ask yourself, what is the message here for me today?
Yeah.
Because that's why we're here.
Yeah.
We both do what we do so we can make a difference out there in the world. And then it's your job to ripple it out. Anyway, I got off. Anyway, I just started having this story come in my head. I saw it like a movie. And I kept arguing with God and the universe and all the powers that be. I'm like, excuse me, I don't write fiction. And it kept coming. And I kept saying, I don't write fiction. And I'm like, well, dang.
So you knew the story was something you were supposed to write?
Yeah. It just kept showing up. I didn't want to. Because it's sassy. My mama can't read it.
Ooh.
No, she can't. She's already asked it. I'm like, no. No. And so finally, I just gave in to it because I believe inspiration comes with those of us who are creative. I read a book by Elizabeth Gilbert called Big Magic. And she says if an inspiration or idea visits you, it'll keep visiting. Then it's going to move on. I was like, oh, no, I like this story. I don't want it to move on. I don't want somebody to take it.
Yeah.
So I wrote it down. And then I got brave enough to throw it out to my daughter-in-law, who's 37. My son is 40. You could be my child. And you can be my bonus child.
Yeah.
And I said, well, y'all just read this. And they loved it. And so fast forward now a year, I have a actual New York literary agent who found me.
Okay.
And we're in the... We're in the process of editing. The book is called Deception.
Oh.
And I have a pen name, Lane Houston. My grandmother was Elaine. She lived in Houston, Mississippi. She was spicy. And so who knew at 67? But if I started this loop of I'm too old, start comparing myself to other fiction writers out there, is mine good enough? Guess what? That would stay in my computer and never live. And we're not supposed to do that. Whatever you've been impressed to do, it is up to you to do it. You were given that for a reason, so go do it. Go do it.
That's awesome.
It's crazy.
I feel like Danielle has she's a writer herself and has many stories on her laptop. That
get on with it, girl. Do we need to have a little brainstorming session, you and I?
Maybe.
I think so. Maybe. I help you.
I'm a big reader and a big writer, and I do. I have many, many of files just on the computer, and I even tried to, I started a Substack this year, and then it fell off, and I'm trying to get back into it.
I wouldn't know where to start.
I honestly don't even understand Substack.
I don't either.
I don't either.
I'm so glad you said that.
I don't get it.
I don't either. But it was a way to, it was, like you said, if it was a way to force myself to get what I've written out. I've held on to these stories on my computer for years. And so it was a way to force myself to just like put them out there because I didn't want someone else to take them.
All right.
Like, okay. I was like,
we need to talk, and we're going to talk about this, but yeah. I want to be a support place in this for you.
Thank you.
I mean, we've got to support each other in these mm-hmm. spaces for sure.
Yeah.
How, if you put it out there, how do you know somebody's not going to steal it? Like,
I don't.
Yeah. Like, I don't. That's what I don't know how.
I don't. But
Substack works. And
I mean, it's to me, I don't know. This is, I think, more my age, but I grew up in the age of Tumblr, which was another social media website.
Yeah, I remember Tumblr.
And it was very teenager. It was very like moody, posting stories, posting. Uh-huh. And so I was like, yeah. I was like, this feels like the adult version of Tumblr. Uh-huh.
Is what this yeah, feels yeah, like. Yeah. This is the LinkedIn of Tumblr.
It really is, because there are people on there who are like, you know, New York Times writers and like people who've actually been published in, wow. in wonderful places that have their own pages where they're putting, it's more of their personal,
yeah.
you know, like, oh yeah, here's my story for the New York Times, but then here's what I've, you know, been working on in my garage, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
And politicians, artists, whoever.
What? And it's just stories?
No, articles? No, it's articles. It's lists. It's yeah, I don't, encouragement.
I don't know. I don't either. I don't get it.
I don't yeah. either.
Pediatrician has a Substack. And yeah. I get his newsletter.
Yeah, yeah, it's like people who have newsletters. It's okay. There's yeah, sometimes people just and you can there's also like paid versions of it, like, oh, you have to subscribe to get this person's newsletter.
Yes. Uh-huh. That's what it is. Yeah.
So
and I thought I did. I thought I subscribed. This is where I don't get it.
Okay.
I thought I subscribed to mm-hmm. it. And then I get the Substack app.
Uh-huh.
I get all these people who I'm not subscribed to. I don't know uh-huh. who they are, but I get all their yeah. stuff, and I cannot find the one pediatrician the one I subscribe to. Well, I'm gotta, like, where's all gotta, his stuff?
You got to go to the tab. But also the thing with also the thing with Substack is
this is a tech support no, question. Sorry.
But also the thing with Substack is it's you when you subscribe, it gets sent to your inbox. So all my friends, I made them all subscribe to my page because
okay.
I was like,
okay,
I need. I was like, please, I just need one person to read it. I was like, and you don't have to give me feedback. I was like, there's something about knowing that something I wrote has been read.
Sure. Uh-huh. No,
that is just, that was all I needed.
Yeah.
And I do have a wonderful friend who did give me incredible feedback. And I was like, this is amazing. Like, this is so great. And then other friends, they're just like, fun. And I'm like, great. Love it. But they enjoy that it gets sent to their email. And so, and then instead of having to go to the page, it's just all right there in the body of the email. But
huh?
yeah, but I'm with you when you said, like, I feel like we had another guest who said the same thing, or I've heard this before of sort of, you know, you have this wonderful idea, you think of this thing, but then you don't have the courage to go do it. And then the next thing you know, 2 years later, somebody else has done the same right. thing. And you're like, wait right. a minute, I thought of that first. But it's that kind of that theory, that concept of like the universe or whoever, like, it's still going to get out there.
Right. Mm. It's still going to live. Mm-hmm. And you have to ask yourself, I think so many times we ask ourselves the wrong questions.
Mm.
You know, it's like, why would I put that out there and subject myself to all this criticism? And then the question you would need to ask yourself is, why not?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Why not? Be brave. You don't know what's going to happen. And if you fast forward to 67, are you going to wish, as you looked back, I wish I had been brave enough at your age? I don't know when you became brave. You were brave in your 20s. I was uh-huh. not brave in my 20s. And so what would you want as you look, you know, as you look ahead decades, you would be brave enough to say, do it. So, girl, get it done.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying.
Yes.
Yeah. Just get it done.
Yeah.
I'll help you.
Okay, thanks.
All right. You're welcome. You're welcome. I love You're it. Welcome.
I mean, I know we've already covered some gratitude and matitude, but do you have any, like, thinking back from your life, whether it's, you know, childhood in Mississippi, moving to the big city, Nashville, or on your touring in your career, some gratitudes from your life that you want to share with us?
Oh, you know, absolutely. I think I've learned to turn almost every problem or speed bump into an opportunity. And it took me a while to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I found early in my late teens and early 20s all of the Zig Ziglars and the more positive information that I'd never read before. Mm-hmm. And I learned that if I changed my mind, I could change my life. And that if I wanted my life to get better, I had to get better. Mm-hmm. I didn't have to wait on someone else. And, you know, I spoke in Asia, and it was 7,000 people in Macau, just outside of Hong Kong. And wow. I'm the only American.
Wow.
And, you know, tall, blonde American.
Right.
You know, I was an alien to them.
Yeah.
And I just remember standing backstage. You know, I'm the little girl that wouldn't raise her hand in class. I was the girl that had no money. And that I'm about to be introduced to speak and translated into seven languages, which is a trip. Because wow. when I say your mom and them and ain't, that's not translating. That ain't going. My little translator went, no.
Yeah.
And another gratitude growing up, I was so poor, you know, financially challenged, that I decided to be the first person in my family to go to college.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my lessons I teach on the road, please get this, the what must come before the how.
Mm.
You got to decide what you want.
Okay.
And then let's figure out how to make it happen.
Mm, yeah.
Because we didn't have the money for me to go to college. I decided to go. My daddy had not graduated from high school. My grandmother went to fourth grade.
Mm-hmm.
And so an elderly woman in my community passed away, and her husband had already passed. They didn't have children. They dedicated all the timber rights on their property around that part of Mississippi as a scholarship fund.
Wow.
Any kid in my county, very poverty stricken, and the county surrounding, could go to any of the Mississippi schools free.
Wow.
That one woman's decision has put $120 million wow. into wow. education. And one thing that I want people to always understand, like growing up, I had a pond in the back on our property. If you drop a rock in a pond, it ripples out.
Mm-hmm.
But you get to control the rock you drop.
Mm-hmm.
Are you dropping hope and faith and encouragement?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that woman, but she changed my life. I have a degree. Well, I told Danielle, I have a degree from physical education because, you know what, I shopped for a husband. Let's just get real. I thought all the cute boys were in the PE department. I think I said that. But that's okay. I got, you know, I'm coaching in a different way, coaching for life now. But, so control the rock you drop. So I'm thankful that that older woman gave me that opportunity.
Wow.
It will always be a gratitude. And every day we wake up with gratitude. We're not stressed. We're blessed.
Yeah.
Every day.
When did your speaking career start? Because you mentioned earlier you were already on the road doing your speaking when you called your mom to say, hey, I'm getting a divorce.
Yeah.
So when and how did you transition into a speaking career?
I went to Mrs. America thinking, which was held in Moscow, by the way.
Well,
1990 in the dark ages, they decided to have Mrs. America with Mrs. USSR. We were in Moscow for 3 weeks. My child was four.
Wow.
And there was no FaceTime and all that stuff.
No way.
And so I thought I had to win the big sparkly hat.
Uh-huh.
I was doing a little speaking during my year, and I was just telling stories like I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was standing backstage after I didn't make the top 10 in my swimsuit that was glued to my behind, because you spray your behind and stick it, just so you know, there's a little fashion tip. And I walked off stage thinking, wonder what I'm going to do now. That was my ticket to my speaking career.
Yeah.
And a Russian photographer came up to me and said, autograph. And I'm like, boyfriend, I didn't make the top 10. Why are you wanting my autograph?
Uh-huh.
And he said, autograph. And I went, fine. And I wrote, follow your dreams, because that's what my friend had done. And it's what she taught me. And he understood it. And with tears in his eyes, he said, very hard to do in the Soviet Union.
Mm.
And I made a commitment, standing right there in Russia with my swimsuit glued to my behind, that I would come back to the United States and share this message of positivity and following a dream and belief to anybody that would listen.
Mm-hmm.
And then one person heard me and the next person heard me. And then it has always come like that.
Yeah.
Then I ended up on the Dr. Phil show as a guest expert. Let's get that clear.
Oh.
I didn't need to be fixed. Then I got called to be for Paris Hilton and Nicole Richie when they were doing the Simple Life.
Uh-huh.
I got called by a casting director for them to stay in my house. And I'm like, why? Uh-huh. And I was teaching boot camp for beauty queens at okay. the time. But teach girls how to be real. Oh. Look, this is just pageant title.
Okay.
You don't have to decide if you're going to win or lose or not mm-hmm. because the judge has just got an opinion.
Sure, sure, sure.
Go on. And they said, we want them to go to the boot camp. And I said, trust me, you don't.
Uh-huh.
Trust me, you don't. And they said, we really do. And so those girls ended up my house for 3 days.
How funny.
We would have to have a different show for that.
Uh-huh.
But here's what I did with that. They kept pushing that they wanted us. My kid was 18 and my bonus kids 18 and 16. And they sent me a contract that said they could portray me in any light they wanted, fact or fiction. No.
No, thank you.
So I called L.A. when I knew they weren't going to uh-huh. be in the office. I said, hey, it's Dale in Nashville. There are two ways of signing your contract. Uh-huh. No way, no way in hell. So bye. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
And they called me back and challenged me on it and said they'd never negotiated it. I'm like, well, today's your day.
Uh-huh.
I didn't come for you. You came for me.
That's right. No,
you
thank
came
you.
For me.
Good for
no,
you.
Thank you. Wow. No, thank you.
Good for you.
And he said, Dale, what's wrong with my contract? I said, well, first of all, Kevin, you're not coming to my house and make me look like some tall, stupid, blonde ex-beauty mm-hmm. queen. Mm-hmm. Not happening.
Mm-hmm.
He said, Dale, I've seen your tape. Can't make you look stupid. I said, no, you can't, because I control every word out of my mouth. Mm-hmm. But you know what you control? You say right here, a little word called fiction. Mm-hmm. Here's your chance, Kevin. Mm-hmm. Fiction goes or I go.
Mm-hmm.
He was silent, and he goes, have your lawyer contact my lawyer.
Uh-huh.
And they took it out.
Wow. And were you happy with the episode?
I was.
Okay,
I threatened him within an inch of his life uh-huh. because of something that I won't say on your podcast. Uh-huh. We'll talk about off the air that Nicole Richie said to me.
Uh-huh.
And I told him, I said, listen, dude, if that goes to TV, I'll never be allowed in the state of Mississippi. And I'll come for you in L.A. Uh-huh. And he's like, it won't go to camera, I promise.
Oh, wow.
No, he did a beautiful job because it was about the relationship I'd built with that team
mm-hmm.
and our team that was behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Mm. And, you know, at the end of the day, they were very nice to me. And mm-hmm. Nicole actually apologized at the end of it because mm-hmm. she said, I've got to do this to keep the energy.
I bet.
You know.
I bet.
And so I've just always leaned... Did I set out to be on The Simple Life? Mm. Look, when I wrote the goal down of national TV, I meant Oprah. I did not mean Paris and Nicole. Get serious with your goals, people.
Get
serious with your goals. And so I've just continued to lean in mm-hmm. and to say yes, and that's what I'm still doing. I'm not traveling as much outside of here now because this is my time with Grayson, and I'm not going to compromise it, but I am doing things around here
and now
the book. So, and things like this I love and adore.
Yeah.
This just felt so right today that it happened on my birthday.
Yes. Today is your birthday.
I know. It's just
67.
So. Six,
you said.
Six, seven.
All the kids.
Six, seven.
I
don't, what does that mean, by the way?
Nothing. It means nothing. It's just dumb.
Somebody said, like, I don't know what that means.
Yeah. It's on its way out the door.
Help me.
Or it's already... They don't do it that much anymore. No. But because you're 67 today, I had to do the 6-7.
I'm going
to
do it all day.
But also...
All day. I'm going to do it all day.
We have a little something for you.
Y'all are going to make me cry.
For our beauty queen.
Oh, my gosh.
Got you some flowers.
Thank you.
Happy birthday.
I'm glad I wore waterproof mascara.
Yes.
I'm so glad.
Can you hold it like a beauty queen? Can you do it how when you won? Can you show us?
You do it like that. And you wait. Okay, let me teach you the waves.
Teach us.
Yes. Teach you the waves. This is the screw in the light bulb.
Uh-huh. Oh.
This is wiping the windshield.
Uh-huh.
This is petting the puppy. And this is mine. Hey!
Yeah, I won! I'm from Mississippi.
I won! Mississippi. You know what I won? My director said, I wouldn't wear it. I'm like, I don't want to wear this crown. I just don't want to. And she's like, well, you're going to have to. And so I took it off so many times and put it on kids' heads that I ended up breaking it.
Oh, wow.
I ended up breaking it.
Oh, wow.
Because it wasn't about that for me.
Yeah.
It was about, you know, just being real and all that. And these are the only flowers I will get today. These are the only flowers that will be in my presence today. And I thank you so much. I love that.
You are welcome. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
And thank you for spending your birthday with us.
It is my greatest blessing.
Aww.
It is my greatest blessing.
Thank you.
I adore you.
Yeah, okay. Before we wrap it up,
We have this little like rapid fire type situation. It ends up not being so rapid fire, but it's more like
thinking outside the box.
Yeah, Danielle's gonna give you a couple situations.
Oh, and you, y'all are gonna pull a pageant.
You tell us.
Here?
Oh yeah.
Yes. Oh, this is what y'all do it. Y'all are doing pageant interview questions.
Oh, you just tell Danielle if you feel like this would be a matitude or a gratitude situation for
me.
You.
All yes. right, got you.
Yes, so I'm gonna give you a scenario.
Got it.
So let's say that you're out with friends and you think you guys are all about to wrap up and go home, and then someone suggests one more stop.
Oh, matitude, 1,000%. Look, if you call in my house telling me we're going out, it better not be past 8 o'clock. Uh-huh. Don't uh-huh. be doing that. Don't be doing that.
Yeah.
No, I'm not.
Or like you're at a restaurant and they're like, let's go grab a drink
absolutely
at this bar.
Positively no.
Let me tell you when I would say yes. If the bar is literally next door.
Sure.
Well, yeah.
Or like across the street and I could see it from where I'm currently
that's
standing.
Different.
Then
that's
I'd be
different.
Like, yeah, I'll go with you guys.
That's
real,
different.
You know,
but we're going to put a time on it.
Yeah.
We're going to start the clock.
If I have to get in my car, drive to the next place.
Going. We are not going.
Look for parking at the next place.
We are not going. I don't even want to do that parking deal, uh-huh. deal at lunch.
Yeah.
I don't even want to do that at lunch.
I know.
Give us another one.
Okay. Let's say you're just at home and you forgot that you made plans or agreed to go somewhere.
Oh, God.
But there is still, you could make it. There is still time, but you mentally hadn't prepared for it.
Girl, that's according to who's on the other end of that invitation.
Mm, sure. Mm.
Now, if she on the other end, I know we can hang. I will go to that.
Okay. I'll be right there. I'll be right there. I'm,
I'll be right
five
there.
Minutes late. I'm 5 minutes late. I'll be right there.
Yeah. Don't worry about it. I'm coming. Don't, yeah. If it's something that I really didn't want to do in the begin with, you know, I would probably, I am one of these people is that if I say I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm.
And so, I might not want to, but if my people pleasing self said yes, do you know how many times I will say yes and go, what in the actual was I thinking when I said yes to that?
Yeah.
So I've had to learn to pause before I say yes.
Right. Yes.
So I would have to, I put that on me. If I said yes and I could do it, I'd go ahead and do it.
Yeah.
And that's still going to be a mad attitude. Just saying.
You're mad about it, but you're like,
but
I'm committed.
But nobody's going to know that because I'm a people pleaser. Uh-huh. Nobody's going to know I'm mad.
You're like, I follow through on my commitments.
I did. I will.
Okay. Matitude or gratitude? You're shopping. Something is sold out in the color or size you wanted.
Is there gratitude in that?
Well, my thought of it was you're like, all right, wasn't meant to be. I wasn't supposed to spend that money.
No, girl, I'm on Amazon or the real looking for it.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? If it's sold out there, I just wouldn't know. That's a gratitude. Let me tell you why.
Okay.
It's sold out because I wasn't supposed to pay that much for it.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm going to the real. Are y'all familiar?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm going to somewhere else and I'm going to find it. No, I ain't worried about that.
Yeah.
Let me tell you why I'm mad.
Okay.
Why are you mad? Because you spent the time to go in
because
the store?
Because I drove to a store.
That's
you
why.
You had to park.
Because I had to park.
You had to park.
And drive to a store.
Okay.
I'm mad.
Okay. I'm going to get it on Amazon later. I'm going to go with that. Can we do a glad mad?
Yeah. There you go. There you go. Right. Yeah.
I like the glad mad.
All right. Okay. There's one more.
All right. Here is an easy one.
Okay.
Jury duty.
Matitude forever.
I guess
forever and ever matitude.
I'm scared to even say matitude, but I'm scared to say where's Wood. I have never been
what
called.
Really?
What?
I don't know, do they think I mean, with my name being Dale, do you know how many times I walk on stage and people look at me like, where's the speaker?
Uh-huh.
Because they just put my name and my
topic.
Yes,
yeah.
And I'm like, huh, surprise, y'all don't have any idea what's about to happen.
Uh-huh.
I have never ever been called for jury duty.
Wow.
Interesting. What are you named after somebody?
My daddy. You know what I said to my mother? Do you know what I said to my mother?
What?
Because my daddy's middle name. Now I'm from the South. I was supposed to get a double name. Mary Catherine, Sue Ann,
sure.
and Elizabeth.
Sure.
You know, a double name. And she come up in here with Dale.
What? Gave you one syllable?
What?
Not even one name,
in
one syllable.
In 1959 when it wasn't cool?
Oh,
I mean,
wow.
It's real cool now to be Tyler or, you know, all this.
Sure.
It was not cool. So when I was admitted to college.
You poor thing.
I know. Bless my heart. That's the only way we can say. And so I'm admitted to college, and I'm sitting with my advisor, and he says, young lady, we got quite an issue. I said, what is it? I knew my grades were good enough, and I got money now from the Sumners, and I got money. And he said, they have looked at your name, and they have put you in the boys' dorm. Oh. I'm like, thank you, Jesus.
Oh. And I'm like, I'm going to give me my husband.
Like, that's why I'm here.
He said, that's why you don't think you're going to stay there, do you? I said, sir, down at Route 3, Box 89, Helen has been on her knees before God, praying for me, the husband, and the odds just went up. And if you take me out of the dorm, you're messing with the will of God. he was not amused. He took me out of the dorm. But it's fun now, and my daddy's gone on to heaven. So it's special now, and I have fun with it now.
Yeah.
It was difficult as a child.
I can imagine.
Begged her to change it. But now, especially when they don't pick my picture and the people that are talking to me before my event don't know it's me. It's so much fun. Yeah. I had a guy, he wasn't really hit on me, but I guess he kind of was. I had a green suit on, and we're out in the lobby. He walked up to me, and he said, hey. I went, hey. He said, you're wearing my favorite color of spinnerbait.
What?
Do you know what spinnerbait is?
No.
Funnel rod reel fishing.
Oh.
Those little things that go on the end. I'm like,
what a goof.
Really?
What a weird...
Oh, girl.
What a pickup line.
I wasn't done. Right. And so he had no clue that I am his keynote speaker.
Oh, my God.
So, hilarious. I don't know, 300-400 people. Thank God he was in the front. So, I get introduced, and I say hey to everybody, and I see him.
Ooh.
I see John right there. I said, you know what? Y'all sure know how to welcome a girl to y'all's event.
No.
Yes, I did. I said, John, go on, stand
up. John.
Oh, yes. John, you go ahead and stand up.
No.
Yes, I did. I said, let me tell y'all what John said to me today. I said, John came up to me in the lobby.
He's sweating.
And said that I was wearing his favorite color spinnerbait. Hey, John, I got one question for you, buddy. Has it ever worked? That place went up. But you know, I connected with them.
Yeah. After that, except for John. Did not connect with John.
No, he was kind of famous after that.
Okay. He went along with it.
Yeah, because that's what I do. You know, I go on stage, I'm going to go, you know, just like you, I got to go with what's going in the room. I got to go with what's going in the room. And John set himself up for that.
John set himself up.
So at that time, John. I was real proud my name was Dale, because I'd have never had that experience.
You begged your mom when you were a child, please change my name. She said, no, because when you're 60s,
that's right.
You're going to love this.
You're going to love
this. I'm playing
this.
The long game with you, girl.
She did. And she did.
The long game?
She played the long game with me. God bless her. Going to see her today.
Oh,
so good.
She's 8. She'll be 89 in October.
Wow. Yeah. She's young still.
She is.
89?
Yeah. Well, look, I'm going to see Tom Jones in the fall. He's 84.
Wow.
And still killing it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
Well, give your mama our love. Tell her thank you for sharing you today.
I will hug her, because in the South we have a belief. If it's moving, hug it. If it ain't, sell it.
That's funny. Southern slang is my favorite. I'm coming to find out. Like little, we're watching Landman.
Be still, my heart.
Love of Landman, and they just pop off at the mouth.
They
these
do.
Little yeah. quotes.
They
and
do.
I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so charming and hilarious.
I do. We're gonna have to have a Landman night.
Yes.
Oh, I just start. It. I'm like seen two episodes.
It's so good.
But sometimes, and it makes me laugh because they'll throw out those phrases, and I've forgotten some of them, and so they'll throw it out. And I'm like, whoa,
yeah.
I haven't heard that in a while.
I remember my northern husband asking me at 41, how many other women call their daddy, daddy? I said, all the Southern women do. Get off my back. He's daddy. What else am I going to call him?
That's funny.
I had to teach him with the Southernisms.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
going
to bring y'all along into the Southernisms.
Thank you.
How long have you been here now?
2021.
Okay. All right. You're a newbie.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I'm still learning.
Y'all coming to
learning.
The house for some Southern food and a night?
I love it.
Yeah, we are.
Would love it.
We're doing it.
I'm so grateful that you came and sat down with us today.
I loved it.
Thank you for sharing your stories.
Absolutely.
And your birthday and
all of it.
This has been so great. Thank you so much. Before we go, tell everybody where they can find you, your book, and all of that.
Everything is Dale Smith Thomas.
Okay.
Dale Smith Thomas, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and my website is Dale Smith Thomas. Everything is there. And
nice.
You can also find the books on Amazon.
Beautiful.
And I'm Lane Houston. Also, that's the other one. My new
your secret one.
My secret one, my sassy one.
Ooh, I can't wait.
Girl, I will send you the PDF right now. Yeah. Lane Houston, yes. And I'll keep you posted on that. I'm really excited about it.
Yeah. Beautiful. Thank you. Congrats
love you.
On that.
I love you.
Thank you.
I love you, Danielle. Yeah. I'm going to help you.
Thanks. Thank you all for watching and listening. Bye-bye.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.